In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today in the readings of Hosanna Sunday, we read about how the Lord entered into Jerusalem for the final time before his crucifixion, and he asked his disciples to bring him a colt so that he might ride on it to enter into the city. He says to them, "Go into the village opposite you, where as you enter you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here." And when the disciples went and found the colt as the Lord had said, and they came to take it, and they were asked, "Why are you loosing the colt?" The apostles responded the way the Lord told them to, and they said, "Because the Lord has need of it." And it shows us that the Lord is, as we call him, the Pantocrator, or he is the creator of everything. He is the Almighty. He is the one who controls and has authority over everything. Everything actually belongs to him. He simply made the command that he would go and bring the colt, and when the apostles responded, says the Lord had need of it, nobody argued with them. The Lord had need of it, they gave him the colt. So we can meditate just very briefly on what is it that the Lord is asking us when he says, "Give me yourself," when he says, "Give me what is mine." What is it that the Lord is asking us to do, and what is our response when the Lord asks us to give of ourselves to him? When he says the Lord has need of it, do we argue with him? Do we quarrel with him? Do we resist? Do we fight with him? Or do we just offer to him what we know is already his? What is it that the Lord asks us for? The first is, the Lord asks for our mind. He says in Romans chapter 12, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." How is it that we give the Lord our mind? We give him our mind by seeking to conform our thoughts and our beliefs to his word. To seek to understand what is it that he seeks from us, what is it that he wants from us, to learn it, to absorb it, to meditate on it, and to make it to be our own. That whatever it is that the Lord says, this becomes our worldview. This becomes the way that we see the world and our perspective. And that his commandments become a delight to us, become something that we want to fulfill, something that we desire. We don't see them as burdens. We don't see them as something kind of heavy that is we struggle with, but we see them as the right way of life, the way of truth, the way of light. Not something that we run away from or that we feel are kind of cumbersome or difficult for us to follow, but something that we want. And we want to fill our minds with his word. We want to read it. We want to meditate on it. We want to attend Bible studies. We want to listen to sermons. We want to always be filling our minds at all times with his word, because contrary to the mind of God, there is the mind of the world. The mind of the world that is filled with corruption and darkness and deception and lies. These are the kinds of things, unfortunately, that we find ourselves kind of immersed in all the time. In the media, in our workplace, or in our schools, or with other people that we spend time with, we are always surrounded by lies and deception, and a perspective of this world that comes from the belief that this world is all there is, that there is nothing else beyond the world. And so people who believe that there is nothing else beyond this world have a different kind of attitude toward this. Like, this is it. This is all that we have. You might as well enjoy it to the maximum in whatever way that you want, because there's nothing else after this. And because of this worldview, and because of the darkness that's in the world that we find ourselves immersed in, unless we make a very intentional effort to seek God on a daily basis, we will find ourselves just naturally going with the flow of whatever it is we find here in the world and the people that are around us. So it's very important for us to always be renewing our mind, conforming our thoughts to the thoughts of God, remembering who we are, remembering where we came from and where we're going, and so that our thoughts are always holy and pure before the Lord. The second thing the Lord asks us to give him that is ours is our hearts. He says, "My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways." Meaning it's not just the thoughts that the Lord wants to conform to himself, but it's our hearts as well. The Lord wants us to have compassion the way that he has compassion. He wants us to have mercy the way that he has mercy. He wants us to love one another the same way that he loves us. He wants our feelings and our mind to both be sanctified. So it is not only that we know what is the truth, but that our hearts support this truth, and that we seek and desire truly the word of God. We desire it. It is a sincere desire that comes from our hearts that we want. And we reject those feelings that are actually contrary to him. We reject feelings that are selfish. We reject feelings of hatred. We reject feelings that are coming contrary to God. So God wants not only our mind to fill our thoughts with him, but he wants our heart also to be sanctified and purified. And when our hearts and our minds are both aligned together, we actually find that doing what is good becomes much easier. Maybe the thing that we struggle against in our life, when we speak about spiritual struggle, we're struggling against the corruption of the heart. Our heart that does not want to love, our heart does not want to forgive, our heart that is not motivated or excited to do the things that we know are is right. How many times do we believe and know that prayer, for instance, is something that is good? Our mind believes this, and if you ask us, we say, is prayer important and good? We say, yes. Is it important for you to pray every day? Yes. But I don't feel like it. I don't enjoy it. I don't want to do it. I feel sluggish to do it. I feel struggling to do it. I am attracted to so many other things, and so that keeps me distracted and not wanting to stand to pray. And so this is an example of how our hearts have not yet been sanctified. Even though our minds believe, we know the truth, and yet our hearts are dragging it against its will to do what is right. But imagine if our hearts also were sanctified, if we gave our hearts also to God, and that our hearts were supporting our spiritual struggle just as our mind is, how much lighter and easier would our spiritual struggle be, and how easier it would be for us to draw closer to God and to enjoy even our experience and our presence with him. So the Lord asks us not just for the mind, but he asks also for the heart. He also asks for the will. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Meaning, we are called to give God our will, meaning we are called to surrender our will to him. Meaning, whatever plans that I have in my mind, whatever I believe is the right path for me, I filter it through whatever is the will of God. God, this is what I imagine. This is what I desire. This is what I think is good for me. This is what my mind or my heart tells me is good for me. But I don't trust them. I don't trust them. I know that maybe I can deceive myself. Maybe I don't know what's good for me. If you read actually in the Agbaya, at the very end, there's a series of prayers for very specific purposes. And one of them is a prayer for guidance. And in that prayer of guidance, we pray what? Lord, I do not know what is good for myself. I don't know what is good for myself. My mind tells me things. It appears to me that there are things that are good for me, the things that will bring me enjoyment and goodness, and that the outcome will be positive. But I don't know. I don't know. Someone who gives their will to God trusts the will of God more than their own will. And whenever God says something is off limits, they avoid that thing because they know that God has declared it off limits. And when something God says no to, they don't sit there pouting and crying about it because they believe that it is not good for them. Even if it appears good, even if their senses tell them that it is good and that by missing out on it, you are losing something great, actually God tells us no. If it truly was great, if it truly was good for us the way that we maybe imagined it to be, then God would have granted it to us. So To give our will to God means to allow God to choose for us what is important and what is good. It doesn't mean that we don't play a role. It doesn't mean that we don't think logically and we try to understand the different options and try to make wise decisions. But sometimes we feel like God is opening certain doors and closing other ones, and we have to be willing to submit to God's will and trust and know that God is doing what is right for us. God also asks us to give him our body. He says, now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Meaning, how is it that we use our bodies? Our bodies themselves are for God. Do we use our bodies the way that God intended? God did not intend us to use our bodies for sexual immorality. He did not intend for us to use our bodies for every bodily pleasure that we might desire. And so, again, it's a question of submission, of will. God, I'm giving you my body, I'm giving you my mind, I'm giving you my heart, I'm giving you my will, I'm giving you all of me, and I will stay away from those things that you said are harmful to me. Those things even of the body, those substances that exist in the world that maybe my body desires, I will stay away from them because you have declared them to be off limits. You have said that they are harmful. Sinful relationships that you have said are wrong for me, I will stay away from them because you have said that they are wrong. Again, it is the idea of giving to God all of what we are. God created us and he gave us completely all that we are, and we give them back to him. We say this is an act of love, an act of sacrifice, that we give back to him the things that he has given. Not only this, but also the material things. In Malachi chapter 3, it says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Meaning it is not just the things of our person and ourself that God is asking us to give back to him, but even the things, the physical possessions that he has given us, he says, I want you to give part of it back to me again. I want you to identify that I am the source of good things, that I am the one who gave these things to you, and I'm asking you to give it back, not because I need it from you, but because I want you to submit. I want you to see that I am the source of all good things. And he gives us a promise. He says, those who are willing to give of what they have, God will do what? He will open for us the windows of heaven and pour out for us blessing that there will be not room enough to receive. This does not mean that the kind of blessing that we receive is monetary blessing, financial blessing. This is not what it's saying. It's not saying that God is promising us that if we pay our tithes, then he's going to make us rich, like rich with money. This is not what he is saying. But there is blessings that God gives that is far greater than the blessing of money. There are the blessings of peace, the blessing of harmony and unity, the blessings of living our life feeling like we have a purpose and understand where we are going and not to fall into sin. And there's all kinds of blessings that God can give beyond just the money. Maybe he can bless with money, but it doesn't mean that this has to be the kind of blessing. But by paying our tithes, we again are saying, what? I do not depend on this money. I do not depend on these material things. This is not my source of security. My source of security is God alone, and these things I'm giving away. You know, there in the Old Testament, one of the kinds of offerings that they would offering was called a drink offering. And this drink offering, they would take this wine, for instance, and they would pour it on the ground. And what was the reason for this? They would do so saying, I don't need this. Like, God is the one who is providing for me everything, and I do not even need the physical things that I have because I trust that God is giving them to me. And so, just as when we tithe, you know, sometimes people struggle with tithing because they say, you know what, my financial situation is tight. I'm not making a lot of money, and so to pay 10% of the money that I actually am receiving is going to be very difficult for me to pay my bills and so on. What I say is the opposite. What I say is, if you pay your tithes, God will help you to pay your bills, and you will do so even better than when you didn't. When God sees that we are willing to give of the little, then he will bless us with more. If you think about the young boy who had the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, who offered it to the apostles in order for him to do the miracle to feed the multitude. Of course, that boy didn't know what was about to happen. You know, like when Christ was looking for food to give to the people, the boy didn't understand that he was about to give something that would be used in this miracle or that it would somehow feed so many people. But the little that he had, even though he would look at it and say, this isn't going to do anything. Like, this 5 loaves and 2 fish isn't going to feed anyone. Who of these thousands and thousands of people are going to be fed by my small amount of food? And yet he still was willing to give, even the little that he had, even though he had no sense of really how God was going to use it. So sometimes we think that God is asking us of something that we can't give. But actually, we can give. We can give it, and we can see how God blesses it and turns it into something far greater. The last thing I want to mention that God is asking us to give him is our burdens. Maybe this is a different type of giving. God is asking us to give our burdens. He says in Psalm 55, cast your burden on the Lord and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. He's asking us to give him our problems. And maybe you would think that this would be easy because we don't want our problems. We don't want to have to suffer through our problems and to deal with them alone. So you'd think that this is like a no-brainer. We give our problems to God, we're free from them, we don't have our burdens, we cast our burdens on Him, and now we feel light and we feel at peace and everything is great. You'd think that this is something that we would want to do, something that we would run to do. But actually we find it very difficult because we want to always be in control, because we always want to meditate and ruminate on all of our problems and our issues, and we want to try to solve them our own way, maybe instead of just having faith and believing that God is able to work with them. Again, this doesn't mean that we don't do our part in trying to solve our problems, but there are some problems that we have that are beyond solving, at least not with our own effort. And so of these things that we absolutely have no control over, things we cannot change, things that we feel are beyond our ability, we cast these burdens on the Lord, and He says, I will take it from you. Don't keep it and carry it with you. Why are you carrying it with you and suffering with it when I can take it from you? Trust me that I will take care of it, and you don't have to worry about it, right? And yet we find it difficult maybe to do this. So God is asking us to give Him our pain, our anxieties, our fears, our concerns, our fear of the future, the struggles that we have in our workplaces or with our loved ones or in whatever way, whatever burdens that we carry, whatever fears that we have, God is saying, trust me with them, and I will provide you everything that you need. So we spoke today about six things that the Lord is asking of us, just as He asked for the colt today in the readings. We said the Lord is asking us for our mind so that we can conform our mind to Him, our heart so that our heart would be sanctified and that we would have compassion and love and mercy just as He has, that we give Him our will, that we submit to whatever path that He wants us to walk, even if it's one contrary to what we would have hoped. We give Him our body, that we use our body in the way that God sanctions, in the way that He has commanded. We give Him our material things. We pay Him from all of the blessings that He has given us and see the blessings mount and amplify. And then finally, we give Him our burdens so that we don't have to carry them with us. So during this coming Holy Week, we can remember and meditate on all the things that God has given and all the things that God has taken. All the things that He has given us in the form of blessing, in the form of salvation and forgiveness of sins and hope, and all the things that He has taken from us, which is fear and darkness and sadness and despondency, because we now have hope and believe that whatever might happen to us in this world, that we have eternal life with Him, and glory be to God forever. Amen.